Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Lisa, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Yes, thank you so much. I'm excited to be here with you. It's like a dream come true.
Oh, I'm so glad you found me. How did you first find Organize 365?
Well, it was quite by accident. I was listening to an Attitude Magazine podcast, and I don't even really know what you were talking about on it, but I was like, this is so interesting to me. And so then I was like, and I heard that you had your own podcast. So then I started on that. And I literally was hooked within one day and compulsively listened to everything as quickly as possible. And my kids were in the back seat listening. And, you know, my youngest was quoting Lisa Woodruff. So, I mean, we were all going along in the car and, you know, driving a lot for kids in school. And that's really how I got, you know, kind of interested. And then I had to get a Sunday basket. And from there, the rest is history. So
I was your car buddy.
You have been my car buddy for a long time. And I even plan places to drive just so I can finish listening to episodes now.
I used to do that. I totally remember doing that when I was in that carpooling phase. I was like, yeah, I don't mind driving there because that's a good 1.5 podcast or whatever it would be.
Exactly. I'm like, I know I can get one podcast in just driving my youngest to school and to work. So I was like, that is like perfect.
Oh my goodness. So who does live in your house with you?
So we've got a pretty full house. I have my husband, Sean, and he's been working from home during the pandemic. And then 3 kids. We're having birthdays over the summer. So my son, Keegan, 16, and my daughter, Katie, is 14. And then I have an 11-year-old who'll be turning 12. And then we have a whole menagerie of animals. So we have dogs, cats, a rabbit, snake, frogs. We got a lot of critters. And so my middle daughter is an animal lover. So we—
Okay, like Abby. I'm going to send Abby over to see all of your animals.
Does Abby trade though? So Katie's into trading animals and all that.
I can
send Abby home with one. If you come over, you have to take one with you.
So. Never mind. We're not visiting. I'll bring it to Wawa and leave
Frank.
You can have Frank. He's going to be yours. Poor Frank. I give him such grief. We love him. We totally love him now. He is feisty though. I mean, like it doesn't matter what you're eating and he will literally jump up and take it out of your hand. Like a cracker, anything. I'm like, this is my lunch. I don't know. So you're driving around with the kids. When did you decide to start getting organized?
So I got the Sunday basket and I was like, what exactly? I mean, I was reading about, or I was listening to the podcast. I was like, okay, this seems really simple, but I had a hard time envisioning like what it was exactly. And so then I got it and I watched the training and I actually recently rewatched some of the training. I got something different out of it. I was like, oh, I should watch this kind of more often probably because I would learn something different each time. And that really, I was like, okay, my family's going to make fun of me for this, but I went ahead and started it. And then now like everybody in the family uses it. I mean, my daughter yesterday was like, oh, I put that in the Sunday basket. I was like, perfect. So we'll know exactly where to find it now. So that really got me started. And then I did the whole all access part shortly thereafter. And I really like January started and it was, when you asked for a picture, my before and after, I was embarrassed to put a before picture on the web. But it like really transformed my house. And I think what's most amazing is it just stayed for the most part. I mean, even if things get kind of messy briefly, it's easily put away, which is different because I think before I thought about like organization as a destination and you've helped me shift to thinking about it as a process.
Yeah. And how long ago was it that you started?
I think I started, let's see, let me, I gotta remember for a bit. I started maybe in 2020 I started in 2019 with listening to the podcast and the Sunday basket. And then maybe it was in, yeah, and then maybe in the right before the pandemic is when I started with all my organization, and I went through the first 100 days, and I got actually most of it completed, and then I've kind of continued. It goes much quicker now than it did the first time when I had lots of stuff that had to be removed. So it's been about a little over a year.
Okay. So that's right about the time when your youngest was turning 11, like 10, almost 11. You were definitely entering that next phase of life, even before the pandemic. Like, you were definitely going from that grade school, preschool type kids into the middle school, high school, which is just a totally different, you're in your car all the time, like, phase, yes, of life. And they're just, you know, they are exploring the kind of individual they're going to be as an adult, and they're becoming more independent every single day. It is just a totally different way you need to organize your house than when they were younger. And so, yeah, it's that golden window you were in.
Exactly. And they were all like, the other thing that was different was that they were each in different schools. Whereas before, I typically would have at least one or two at a school. And then I am now to three separate schools, which is just added to the complexity, you know, of what needs to be done.
Yeah.
So
I hear you there. I had two and that was enough. So yeah. When's the first time that something was organized that you hadn't had organized before?
Well, there've been a lot of, I'm still having aha moments. I mean, the most basic was just getting my silverware drawer, like, and I was like, it just looks so nice. And I had done like purging of stuff before, but this was just different. And it's really weird because I feel like a lot of the things that you teach, I'm like, why does this feel so magical where I've done things in the past that I feel like, okay, this is pretty good, but they haven't held. And I feel like you teach processes that really help to maintain things over time or make it easier to maintain or adapt. Whereas in the past, other programs maybe wouldn't quite do that in the same way.
Interesting. I wonder what it is.
I feel like you're really good at like thinking about like people's executive functioning skills and how to like scaffold things for people. And that has been, I feel like I've always been pretty like productive, but like kind of relying too much on my head. And you've really helped to develop some processes, which I think is great. And like last week I had to like ask my mom to find something in my house. And I was like, just got that Warrior Mama binder. And the first folder, you'll find what I need. And if you can just read it to me and that will be perfect. And she was like, I can't believe you're so organized. I'm like, thank you. Thank you, Lisa Woodruff.
Oh, congratulations. I mean, I bet you were like, yes.
It was. Cause in the past I would have had to say, you'll need to go to this drawer. You'll need to look through these folder. I mean, there would have been like 100 steps. And this was like, go to this folder, you know, this binder, it's pink. It has, you know, this on the cover, pull it off the shelf with the other binders. And yeah, and it's right there.
Well, you said efficient and you said productive. And I think what I've observed recently is we chase productivity so much that we don't think about if we should even be making what we're doing productive. Like maybe we just don't even need to do it. So efficiency is, yeah, like, I think sometimes I just let you know you don't have to do that thing anymore, or you don't have to, it doesn't have to be done at all.
I know. And I think I love that. And I feel like that's one of my biggest takeaways from you is that not just for like cleaning and household organization, but even think about like life priorities, like maybe that isn't, you know, maybe I've been doing that for all the wrong reasons for 20 years, time to do something different. So
yeah, and we just like go on autopilot and we're like, okay, so I've got to do all these things today. Now, what's the most productive way to do it? And I'm like, should you even do it? Like take a step back. Should we do it at all? Okay. If we need to do it, then what is the most productive way to do what is left and how to batch it and organize it and task stack it and all of that. But yeah, does it even need to be done?
Yeah. I think that is like a real game changer and helps to like really consider if like what you're doing is really in line with what you need to be doing at this stage of your life. Mm-hmm. Cause it's easy to just like, just keep adding to things. And sometimes, you know, one of the expressions, I guess one of my friends said was like, you have to say no to make room for yes. And I think that you know, the Sunday basket and even like the little index cards of, do I have to get this done this week? You know, helps just to reduce that mental clutter so you can think a little more clearly about things and prioritize in a way that's more in line with what you really, what that's important to you at this stage of life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the each phase and stage of life has things that are important to you that you only can do during that phase. Like, as frustrating as it is to spend a part-time job worth of time driving, like, you can find, like, you have to do it no matter what. Like, that is not optional. So you can find good things that happen during that phase of life. And your kids will remember that phase of life more than they will, you know, whatever you did before they were the age of seven, whether you stayed home or worked or whatever. We like give ourselves so much grief over that and stress over that. And my kids said to me the other day, you were a stay-at-home mom. I'm like, what? I have never worked. Where do you get that I was not a stay? I'm like, I have been home for 20 years. I started working in 2021 outside of the home. And they're like, we didn't think you were a stay-at-home mom. You know, we have in our head what we think our kids are perceiving. It's not necessarily what they're perceiving.
It's not necessarily accurate. Yeah. So, yeah. So I definitely see, yeah, every day, like things that have helped, like it's very interesting how it all kind of builds on, you know, like it's iterative. So like, you know, you kind of learn something and then you learn something else and it changes, like you said, with those golden windows and those phases of life. But yeah, I feel like just really focusing in on managing expectations for people too has been a great part of all of the Sunday basket and the 100-day program. You know, you're not trying to like get it done. You're trying to live more efficiently or, you know, in line with your values.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So what has happened since you started on this journey of organization that you did not expect to happen? We all know COVID happened, but.
Yes, COVID. Well, you know, it's been a crazy year. I mean, I just beat with work and then my daughter has been really sick. And then I had my family member had some health issues. And so those things have come up. And then I've had to work during the pandemic. And then my kids and my husband have been home a lot. And so that has definitely created, you know, the same types of obstacles that lots of people have had. So just trying to get a sense of control, I guess, and like at least the illusion of some control in a time that sometimes feels not quite so manageable. It's been really helpful.
It has helped?
Yeah. It has helped. Yeah, I think it has helped. I mean, I've really used my binders a lot. And then, you know, I got a workbox recently. I have a workbox that I made up in my office with a Sunday basket, but now I'm like kind of rethinking how I'm going to do that. So I feel like I'm still learning, which I like, and I'm still kind of finding out how to work all this in my life. But I feel like it's been helpful in terms of kind of thinking about next steps and just kind of like, yeah, where's life going and how to make, you know, the choices that I need to make to support my family where they're at and dealing with unexpected things. I had no idea. If you would have told me all the stuff that was going to happen this year, I wouldn't have believed it. So
I don't think anyone would have believed it. And it wasn't just the pandemic. Like you said, like there are other things that happen along with the pandemic. It was just like another thing added on top of the cake of life.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so it's definitely been challenging, but it's been nice to have a place where I'm like, okay, I throw all these medical EOBs in here. Mm-hmm. I've got a place for all the school 504 stuff. I've got, you know, so just having like a place to put my brain so I don't have to think about it during the day.
Yes. It's like your external brain in a box. That's what we call it.
It is a brain in the box. Yeah. Really handy. Yeah.
So I have to ask you, you are the second dual income family that I've interviewed this summer where the female works outside of the home during the day and the husband works at home during the day and there are kids involved. The other family had little kids that went to daycare age and you have older kids. Mm-hmm. What is like, What does your husband think of the organized 365 systems? Is he using any of them? Has it helped you guys communicate with the workload at home? Like, have you seen any of that yet?
He definitely sees it. I mean, he's like, can I find this in the Sunday basket thing? Or can I find this in this binder? So he definitely, you know, he's aware. And when I was like telling him, you know, I mean, he doesn't even balk at any of the stuff that I buy anymore related to any, what am I getting from Organized 365? I'm like, oh, I'm getting a new workbox and I'm going to go to the planning day and I'm going to figure out the next, you know, part of my summer. So, you know, I think he sees that it is helpful and, you know, people know, like, I mean, simple things like a gift card, I can stick it in the Sunday basket and no one has to like try to find it in a wallet. They can go and find it in their little folder or whatever if you get a gift card for your birthday or something. So that's really been handy. So he definitely sees all that. I mean, we definitely divide and conquer. And so there are certain things that, you know, but he actually gives me materials to put in the Sunday basket now. So we both are kind of working it together, I would say, even though I'm the one who actually goes through it on Sunday. So,
yeah. So I thank you for answering.
So he's on board.
Yeah. I'm finding that spouses are on board. In our survey that we did, we found that millennial men were the most interested in having their own Sunday basket and that this is the solution that would help them out of everyone that we surveyed. Of course, they don't know what a Sunday basket is. We just explained it in the survey. And millennials in general are very interested in having a paper storage solution. I was just meeting with another business owner and I said, I think it's because for a long time, when I would talk to the millennial population when they were younger, they would say, we don't have paper, everything is digital. And now that they're approaching 40, they're like, we're drowning in paper. Why do we have so much paper? Help us with the paper. And so we are finding, like, I am finding that there are, like, there was a period of time where Greg was working from home and I was working from my office because I get to make my own pandemic rules and I have my own office. So I came here and he's working from home and the kids were still home. And he was like, oh my gosh, like the door and the Amazon deliveries and the maintenance person and the dog this. And I'm like, yeah. And he goes, you scheduled everything while I was home for this month and you're at work. I was like, or that's how it's been for the last 20 years. He's like, there's no way you overscheduled things when I was here and you're not here. I'm like, or this is how it's been. This is what it's like to work from home. Like it is all of these things. And so as we're starting to define this in our research and in our conversations, what is housework? How much time does it take? How is it divided by gender? And the bottom line is there's just way more work than we really realize. And everybody is working, men, women, children, and there's still more work to do than we know what to do with. So it's just interesting.
The millennials, I mean, we've gone so digital that people are craving some of the physical, the tangible part of paper and being able to kind of organize themselves a bit because it's still there.
Isn't that funny? Like everything comes back around again. Everything comes back around again.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know, I feel like just the method of going through, like kind of thinking about like these steps of things is really helpful. And like in the simplest examples, even the kid program, like the cleaning the room thing, I'm like, okay, I've tried to teach my kid how to clean a room for how many years? And just having those three little, you know, the little card with the steps and I'm like, okay, you know, get all the trash, you know. Very simple, but I think it's the process of how you're teaching someone how to do it, which I think is just lovely. And I really like how you, when you talk about it on the podcast and in the trainings, you explain to people, like, this could take months to teach like one part of the skill and help to manage people's expectations because it takes time to learn some of this stuff.
So your kids are doing the kids program?
Well, I've used it primarily with my middle daughter. My son, he's pretty tidy already, but I'm going to try to get him to kind of, he's getting older, more like the launch part of it. So I'm trying to kind of think about that in terms of like the medical info and all that kind of stuff. So I'm working a little bit, like you talked about like summertime teaching certain life skills, and that's kind of what I'm working on now. But just getting the room clean, my middle daughter is... a slob, for lack of a better word, with her stuff. And it's like, it has like transformed her ability to clean her room, just having really? Those steps. And it's taken us, I mean, probably a good 6 months, but it's like, she knows now what I mean when I say, okay, get all the trash, just the trash, 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 trash. So, and it, you know, it requires coaching, but she can do it now. And her room, for the most part, stays tidier, much, much tighter than it used to be.
Well, I will just tell you, Lisa, having invested the same 6 months in my daughter, like she now cleans her mini apartment in the basement for fun. Like when she's bored, she cleans. She likes it to be clean and organized. She knows how to do that. And I know she's going to be a great mom because now she can keep her space tidy and that will reduce her stress. When exactly. her, if it gets to be 3 days, she gets very stressed. She does her laundry every 2 or 3 days. Now, you know, I do mine every week. My son does it once a month and then I always help him. But Abby's running laundry usually every 2 to 3 days. She stays on top of her laundry. She doesn't want to get it beyond one laundry basket. Now, part of it is she has maternity clothes right now and she didn't want to buy a lot of maternity clothes.
Good for her.
But even before that, you know, she likes to stay on top of it because she knows if it gets too far gone for her, that it's too overwhelming. And then it is a whole meltdown. And so she's learned the skill and it's stuck for life. Like once you learn the skill of organizing, your home can get away from you for different phases and stages of life or unexpected events, but you know how to get it back when you get enough time to do it. And it is a skill that will bless her for the rest of her life. Like she'll be so grateful.
Well, I'm grateful. So, I think it really, by having that environmental, like feeling like there's some like process here in place, it reduces stress for everybody. And then there's freedom to do other things. And it doesn't have to be as much of a chore if you have the steps.
Taking away that parent-child struggle about the expectation of what the room will look like every week when it is clean. I mean, that is playing out in every home around the world every weekend. Like, this is my status of what I want your room to look like. And then the child saying, this is the amount that I'm willing to give you to get that done. And you're always going to have one kid that you don't even have to ask. And you're usually going to have one kid that no matter how many ways you ask them or help them or try, you're going to get to Saturday morning and go, how possibly did you do this in 7 days? We don't even own this much stuff. How's there this much stuff not in where it's supposed to be?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and my youngest, she was listening in the car about taking the stuffed animals on vacation in the living room to sort them out. And so she does that now a couple times a year because they accumulate like rabbits, and she goes through them and then she figures out which ones she can share or donate and it's really helped. She's kind of in that transition from childhood toys to like early adolescence. And so we've put some stuff up at the top of the closet, which has helped. So it's there in case she decides she wants it back, but it's not taking up space in the room. And it's kind of helped with that transition period a bit. So yeah, I'm like, these things, they seem so simple. And yet they've like eluded me for years. So
do each of your children have their own bedrooms?
They do. My son is in our dining room that we converted into a bedroom for him because our house is a 3-bedroom house and it's, you know, it's a very nice house, but it's not huge. And so he's in the dining room converted to a bedroom. So it has no closet right off of the kitchen. And then the girls are at the end of the hall near my husband and I. So we have a 1-story home.
And so do they embrace this idea of having a mini apartment?
They do. And I like try to show them the different zones. I'm like, okay, let's talk about your zones. And we're getting ready to redo my youngest daughter's room. And I was like, okay, let's think about your zones. And she's like, I need a gaming zone. I'm like, I'm not sure about that, but we can discuss.
I love it. I just think kids are so fun, especially that middle school age. Like you said, your daughter is in that transition between childhood and teenager. Like that transition time, there's like a 6-month transition time in there when they switch from one to the other, where their imagination just gets really, really creative. And then they get a little bit more serious and they try to figure out like who they're going to be as they become a young adult. And it is that magical age where they really are like, and it's my mini apartment and it's going to be this color and I'm going to make a mailbox and I'm going to do all these things. For boys, it tends to be like around the age of 14. Like it amazes me when you look back at inventions. Do you know email was invented by a 14-year-old boy? Television was invented by a 14-year-old boy. Like it's just that transition in their brain at that time that makes them think in this whole other dimension. And then they come back like,
that's really 15. Cool.
Yeah. See?
That's pretty cool. I believe it because they're creative and they're thinking outside the box and they're not kind of trapped yet in like their own, you know,
they're not thinking about how it would happen. They're just thinking about like, what if it's kind of like the 3-year-old that says, why only they say it with the knowledge of like another 11 years of life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is very cool. Yeah.
And it's so hard as the parent. You've got so much stuff to do and the financial responsibilities and the housekeeping to do. And like, you know, you have all these things to just step back and be like, oh my gosh, they're like what they're doing at this age is so cool. And that's why I like in the kids program to talk to kids like they're humans, not like they're little kids, and just talk to them like, hey, this is your room. This is your space. Like, be respectful of your landlord, AKA your parents, and ask them if you could have permission, maybe, you know, do some extra chores so you can earn money for paint or see if you can get a, you know, an inexpensive IKEA or Walmart or Target piece of furniture. If you need a cube system, they're usually like $30. How can you earn $30 if you want to do that? But really telling them like, if you can come up with the idea and you can come up with a way to make the money, then you can improve your apartment. Like that is so empowering for a middle school, high school kid.
It is empowering. And then they do come up with things that they want to do. And it's
like a gaming center.
A gaming center or LED lights across the ceiling or something. So
Joey does lights. Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, and
I have to say Joey's an awesome sport to have his mini apartment and
his in dorm. The kids program.
Yes. So, that's meaningful to kids to see, like, it's not like a, it looks like a real human, like, is living there.
We went through his closet a couple weeks ago, and he said, do we need to put this on Instagram for people? Like, because he works here at the office, and he understands the transformation that's going on now. Like, his favorite weekend of the year is Embrace. I'm like, it's like a female women's conference. He's like, Dad, you've got to go. Like, the women are so impacted. If you knew what mom was doing on the weekend, like, it's amazing. Like, these women are like, their whole lives are getting transformed. He just loves the mission and vision and values of Organize 365. Yeah. He's like, mom, you can say anything you need to about my, you know, ADHD and things like that, if it will help people.
And it does help people. And it does help people to see, you know, kids and how like their space is really organized, not how a mom, you know, wants to make it just look cute. And so how it's functional. And so I just, even like the closet arrangement, hanging a closet in a closet versus drawers, game changer. I'm like, I have like a little list of game changers from, you know, Lisa Woodruff. And my family goes around, now don't mess up mom's Organized 365.
I love it. That is classic. I've never heard that before.
So, because my mom's visiting now and she was noticing the change in my place because she came first time since the pandemic. And she's like, oh, it's really well organized. And I was like, yeah, don't mess it up.
This is the organization that works for me.
Exactly.
Oh, that's so awesome. What do you think you have more of now, Lisa?
I definitely have more like kind of inner peace, less clutter in my brain, in terms of thinking about like trying to keep track of stuff. I think more confidence sometimes in some of like the decisions. I definitely think I'm being more mindful about some of the things that I'm doing because of all this, and definitely a greater sense of like organization and just trying to be responsive rather than reactive to things. So I think that's been fabulous, really.
Yeah. I mean, especially in 2020 and 2021, to make that shift during that time, it's huge.
It was so affirming, though. That was like the highlight of my years.
Oh, yay. I didn't even think of that. I love that.
I mean, and I have to tell you, the free week of the laundry room, I kind of tried to start with that, but But I kind of got overwhelmed. So it really helped us go just start with the kitchen. And then by the time I got to the laundry room, I was like thinking about things so differently. And then my laundry room ended up much better than it probably would have if I had actually started. So I started small with just like that first drawer, like really made a difference. And I think just how you help people to think about chunking their stuff and organizing things into zones really, it's again, those executive functioning skills really mm-hmm. helps with all that.
Yeah.
So, and then my other like shout out to you is I'm sorry, I'm like fangirl.
No, it's fine.
Those index cards. So the index cards are really great in terms of like slowing me down, in terms of like, you know, historically, like I have an idea and I'm like, I want to do this now. And that's not always the most effective way to do things. So if I put it on the card and then look at it Sunday and I'm like, do I really want to do this? No. You know, or maybe I really do. And then it's, you know, a much more mindful decision, like finding the space and time to do it. So.
Okay. Me too. So the index cards saved me $1 million, maybe not a million, but almost $1 million. Because when I was cleaning out my house and doing the, what will become the 100 day program,
yeah.
I can't even tell you, like, and we had no money when I was doing it, as I said in the book. And I had so many materials that I had purchased for ideas I had that hadn't even started. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't write things on index cards. I would drive to stores. I have an idea. I'm going to drive to Michael's. I have an idea. I'm going to drive to Target. I have an idea. I'm going to drive to Lowe's. And I would get whatever I needed for that idea. And that was my index card. And then yeah. I would not be interested in doing the project. And 3 years later, I have everything to plant a vegetable garden and paint a wall and do it, but I haven't done it. So right. The index cards saved me millions of dollars.
I do.
Just by Sunday, I'm like, meh, I'd rather have onion rings than do a puzzle.
Exactly. We're getting,
I don't need to buy any of that except for the onion rings.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So I think it's for, you sound like an ideator like me, where we're like, I have an idea. I'm going to get started. And then you're like, oh, there's follow through. I don't want to do that.
And I'm really good at a lot of follow through, but then I feel kind of overwhelmed by how
many projects.
Too many things. And so it's like, you know, then I do things I don't really want to be doing. And so it helped to say, this is a good idea, but it's not the idea that I need to, like, somebody else can do this good idea. It's not my good idea anymore. It's somebody else's to deal with in the universe. So.
And so, right. They're all good ideas. We want to do them all. They're all fabulous. I think the hardest thing for me was realizing I am only capable of implementing 1 to 2 ideas at a time. Now, if I implement really fast, I get to pick a new idea. But if life gets in the way, then I can't pick a new idea until this one is done. And it made me pick projects that I really, really wanted to see done. And then I could complete them, but I could only work on 1 or 2 at a time. Whereas I used to have like, and in my 20s, I could kind of get 10 at one done. I don't know what happens as you get older. You literally can't. But when you're in your 20s, somehow you can. And so now 1 or 2 ideas all the way to completion, including books. Like, unless I'm going to start reading it today, I'm not allowed to buy it.
Yeah, I think that's a great, like, little, those kinds of rules for yourself really, I think, really decrease stress over time. And I, that's, you know, when you talk about you can only have 1 or 2 things that you can actually do at a time, that's much more, I mean, when I have talked to people and they have these long lists, I'm like, that list is, might as well throw it away. It's, you know.
So, it's just stress.
It's just stress. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you don't even really enjoy the one you're working on because you know there are so many other ones you should be working on.
Right. And then I find that people put stuff on the list to help them feel good about crossing stuff off that are really just routines. And so they're not really getting to their actionable items. And so I think that's kind of where all the planning stuff really, you know, I take to heart when you talk about how you plan and you get to save like time basically. And I'm, you know, that planning is worthwhile. So it's not a waste of time. And so using those kind of strategies to help out. And
yeah.
Stress along the way.
It's all about decreasing stress. So what do you have less of? Do you have less stress?
Do you have less stress? And I have less, I mean, I did get, you know, I did purge a lot of stuff from my house. But it was like, just like changing that transition of lifetime kind of stuff. Yeah. So, and so I think I'm definitely more mindful of, do I really need this? And so, yeah, I have, I think, more time to do the things I want to be doing, more awareness. So my eyes are a little bit more open. So I think that's helpful.
So cool. Yeah. All right. So what do you wish you'd known sooner?
Well, I definitely wish I'd known about this sooner, because I did like the Marie Kondo, which I know you've talked about, and it did help me purge my house. Mm-hmm. And it is like a good strategy for thinking about, do I need to save something? But it misses the whole process part of what I think you're able to teach people, which I think is the part that's really invaluable. And so I wish I'd known about you sooner. I see like applications for this. Like I want to tell everybody that I know about it. I do tell a lot. I mean, I gave away copies of your paper solution book to people. I'm like, yes. And I've gotten some other people on board with this. I'm like, you got to check this out. So, yeah. And I have my kids, you know, so I definitely feel like I wish I'd known about it sooner, because I do feel like it's been kind of a game changer just in terms of how I think about time and space. Which is nice.
Yeah. It is hard to think about time and space differently at home, you know, because you think it's all free time plus chores. Yeah. So to think about time any different than that, like that's kind of like how you think of it as a kid, and you don't really mature out of that unless you're like shaken out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I wake up and I think, okay, start my machines.
That's right. Get your machines and your people going.
You know, which I'm like, okay, why is this, you know, but it's those kinds of things. So instead of thinking, oh, I need to do laundry, I'm just like, okay, it's just a habit. And I love all the research on habit formation. And so to me, I mean, the stuff that you talk about, I'm all like, I listen all the time, because I'm like, this is saving me time. I don't even have to read some of this stuff because Lisa is going to read it for me. And
Lisa Cliff Notes.
Exactly. So thanks.
Oh, you're so welcome. What's your next step, Lisa?
Well, like I said, I got the workbooks, the planning day. I did sign up for like Sunday basket certification. I don't know. I like what exactly. I'm like, okay.
Yay.
Yeah. I just feel like I haven't quite, I need to do the planning day to kind of think about like how all this is going to go. But I feel like I like things that are practical, and, yeah, this is very practical, and it seems like I'm a research kind of interested person, and this seems very, I mean, I know you're doing research now, which I applaud you for that. I mean, go a step above and beyond, but I feel like it also is just really helping people to kind of think about ways that make sense from like a research perspective too, just in terms of those executive functioning skills. And I feel like everybody's executive functioning skills have been tapped out the last year.
Oh
my gosh. So yes. I use the help totally. We can. So.
Yeah. And no one has perfect executive functioning.
No.
So, you know, ADHD is a diagnosis where your executive functioning is not optimal. Just newsflash for you. Over the age of 40, you lose executive functioning every year. So we're all getting more ADHD one day. Like it's exhausting. And your mind during the pandemic has had to go through so many changes so fast. Our brains are way better than computers, but they need processing time in order to catch up with the reality of today. You know, there's so many articles out right now about how the world has spun forward 10 years in the last year, as far as all kinds of things that were naturally occurring. It's going to take our brain, you know, a minute to catch up with that. I'm very future thinking. And there were some periods in the pandemic where I couldn't think beyond 3 days ahead. And I was like, oh, wow, if I can't think more than 3 days ahead, you know, it's really hard for people that are very present oriented or past oriented. And people are one of those orientations. I'm a future oriented person. So I was like, wow, if I'm thinking about present, we're all kind of stuck right now.
Yeah. Well, I think time awareness got really skewed during the pandemic. I was like, what day, what time, what year, what week, you know, I'm like, and I'm usually very well oriented to time. But it was weird. And I'm very excited to see kind of where the workbox stuff goes. I mean, I think that there's such, when I was listening to the podcast, I think there's such a space for that, you know, fuse people's homes and work. And that's where we're at as a society. And I think it's really exciting to see where all that goes. So, yeah.
Yeah. I was just talking to a business owner today. I meet with another one tomorrow night, and they're like, okay, we're coming back hybrid. And so how do we We know people can work in the office. We know people can work at home. How do we help them mentally work at home and office, or some people are at home and some people are at office, and how do we do meetings, and how do we do like this home life work thing? We're calling it fusion, but other people call it balance or hybrid or whatever.
I like fusion.
What are the systems? You're one person, Lisa. I'm one person. Multi-passionate is how I used to say it. I want to win at home and work and parenting and grandmaing and all the things that I'm good at. Like, I have one brain. Why do I have to be work and life? Like, I'm one brain. I'm one person.
Right.
I just have different goals, and my ideas come to me out of my fabulous brain randomly. So I write them down and I put them in the right box and I process them when I'm in that role. Mm-hmm. Versus trying to create a balance. Like, I've never been balanced. Who's been balanced? No one's ever been balanced.
No. And I think that I've had several years of like higher stress than I needed to by trying to like think that you could have balance. Right. And then realizing, you know, that's just like a sack of lies that we've been sold.
It is. But the other thing, and I did the same thing, like, I want to be working and home and I want to be balanced. But the other lie that I'm uncovering, which I'm now finding is not true for me and for some of us in Organized 365, but is still true for most, is that it's either or. You're either succeeding at work or you're succeeding at home, but there's only so much capacity. So you try to get a balance. And I'm going to say no.
Yeah.
You can win at home and at work and be a woman at the same time with children. But it all comes down to planning.
Planning.
You have to plan and run your plan. You absolutely cannot show up at work and show up at home and win. You have to do planning day. Like, that's why the planning day is the key. 3 for home, 4 for work every year. I understand it is 7 days. It sounds ridiculous, but I will tell you, I am winning at home and I'm winning at work. And it is because I'm doing 7 planning days and I'm allowing my team to have 4 planning days a year where they just take the whole day and they do their work box and they get ready for the next. And it costs me a lot of money to do those days. Like, I do, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, this is a high salary day for us to clean out our work boxes. But I tell you, they are less stressed. They are more productive. They are more focused. They feel more goal oriented. They feel more supported because we do that. You're going to get the work done.
And it clarifies like what needs to actually be done versus the things that you can ignore.
Right.
When you said like, it would make a lasagna. You could just get Stouffer's. I'm like, yeah.
Right.
You gotta just
sorry
decide.
For all you good lasagna makers.
Yeah.
But for the other 99.9% of us, Stouffer's.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, sometimes that's what you have to do. And you have to decide, yeah, if your priority is to do like the homemade lasagna, which I do at occasion, great. But sometimes you can't do all that and do everything else if you, want to feel like you're doing it the way you want to. The level
and
you want.
You can do the lasagna if that is your one. Like you, like during the pandemic, I actually for a whole month cooked because that's what was the most important for my family. Like that's what supported them the most. I'm not doing it now because you have, that's what planning day is about. What is the most important thing that you could do in the next 120 days at home or 90 days at work? And you only can pick 1 to 3 things. You can't pick 27.
You know, and that is hard for people who like to, I find that one challenging, narrowing it down, but it definitely has helped with the planning days and the index cards and just being realistic about what's achievable and what are the things that only I can do versus, delegating or asking for help on. So.
Yeah. So what advice would you give to someone who's just starting out?
I would just say, just start. I really felt like just getting started. And if you stop, just pick right back up. I mean, I basically, use my planner like to go through the days and think, okay, now what I rewatch the video. Okay, now I know what I'm doing. And I, it goes much quicker every time you do it. And so, just get started. And that Sunday basket, I'm like the simplest thing, but it's like a little magic, little box.
A little magic box with her brain inside.
And I'm like, who knew? So
I know. Sometimes I think there's no way that it's that simple little box, but it there's a lot in that box. There are a lot of systems and processes and habits, and but it is a simple box.
It's the way you teach it. It's not just the box. It's how the information is presented and the process and the supports and structure for it. So yeah, that's what makes it it creates a habit for people. Mm-hmm. Which is lovely.
Lisa, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
I'm excited. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Are you ready to share your transformational story with me and the rest of the Organize 365 community? We would love to hear it. Please go to organize365.com/Wednesday and fill out an application. I cannot wait to see your application in my email inbox.